today we're going to talk about top 10, of course, the estate planning myths.
Mm-hmm. And our first myth, a will avoids probate. Tell me why that's a myth.
Actually, just the opposite is true. If you have a will, the only way it is given effect is through the probate court or the probate process, regardless of the state in which you reside. Having a will ensures that your property that's in your name will pass according to your wishes, but it will be handled by the court. Having a will is a good idea, however. It allows you to name who is going to handle your estate. It allows you to specify who's going to get your assets and under what terms and conditions. With a properly drafted will, you can benefit your children or your grandchildren or other friends or family. You can set money aside for college. You can help charities. You can leave assets to children or others with protection from their creditors, but you can also use other vehicles that will avoid probate, like revocable living trusts.
Another estate planning myth, I can give away $10,000 a year.
Yeah, it's amazing. I still have clients coming into me saying, you know what? I know that I can give away $10,000 a year. Is that right? And I'm correcting them. I say, well, the annual gift tax exemption this year is actually $12,000, not $10,000. And it's been at least $12,000 for a couple of years. Before that, it was $11,000. And it applies to each person to whom you make a gift. However, there are two things that most people forget about this gift tax exemption. First, the only time you really need to worry about ever paying gift tax is if you give away more than $1 million during your lifetime, or if you have an estate that's greater than $2 million. So, for most people, a gifting plan to use the annual exclusion amount may make little sense. Mm-hmm. Secondly, and most importantly, the annual exclusion has to do with gift and estate taxes, but it has nothing to do with Medicaid planning. Under new Medicaid rules that came out in 2005, any gifts that are made within 5 years of applying for Medicaid, which is known as the look-back period, will result in a Medicaid penalty regardless of the state in which you reside. The way the new rules apply, the penalty could have disastrous consequences for an elderly client who doesn't have a whole lot of assets. So the $10,000 a year thing is for those that have significant assets over $2 million and are possibly subject to the estate tax and don't have to worry about Medicaid planning.
A third estate planning myth, mm-hmm. Medicaid, the nursing home, will take my house.
Well, no matter how nice your house is, neither Medicaid nor the nursing home want it. But it doesn't mean it's entirely safe from them or other creditors. Your house, or at least $500,000 in equity value, is what is known as an exempt asset for Medicaid purposes as long as you live, provided you claim it as your primary residence. Even if you will never physically be able to return to live in the home because you've been put into a nursing home, for example, the problem arises when you die. If the house passes through the probate estate and goes to your heirs, Medicaid may then claim reimbursement and the house might have to be sold to pay the claim, which may result in less money being not only going to the heirs, but less money being received for the house. There are simple ways to avoid this, and we can advise you on that and preserve your house for your heirs.
Another estate planning myth, a revocable trust protects assets.
Well, that's a very common misconception. Again, actually, the reverse is true. Property held in a revocable living trust is considered as your individual property, and it's treated as if the trust didn't exist. This is true generally and for Medicaid purposes, except for your house. If your house is titled in the trust, for Medicaid purposes, it loses its exempt status and becomes a countable resource. So again, while most of us are inclined to put our house into a revocable trust to avoid probate, if you're concerned about being covered under Medicaid because you don't have a lot of assets, then the last thing you want to do is put your house into mm-hmm. a revocable mm-hmm. trust. Again, for those who have high net worths, which are a lot of our clients, you don't need to worry about putting your house into the revocable trust. It doesn't necessarily protect it from creditors, but in terms of Medicaid planning, it's not a good idea.
a fifth estate planning myth. And we all say this, we all do this. It won't happen to me. Or I don't need planning now. I can wait till later.
You know, it's probably the greatest resistance to getting people to come in and do their estate planning is that thinking about their mortality is not one of their top agenda items. You know, I don't really want to think about my funeral.
Exactly.
I don't want to think about my obituary. Yep. My wife asked me today, she said, what do you want to have in your obituary? Oh. And I said, you know what? It's funny. I plan out everybody else's obituary. Yeah. I'm like the shoemaker in the shoemaker's shoes.
Yep.
I don't know if I even want to think about mine right now, but I can understand why people say, you know, I really don't want to think about my estate planning. You can never tell.
As Wayne, I mean, read what's on your shirt. Can I read what's on your shirt?
Yes.
I am not dead yet. That's exactly what's on Wayne's shirt right now.
That's from that's from Spam-A-Lot.
Okay.
And it's from Monty Python. All right. You know, so it's a joke. It's a joke. You can never tell when something bad's going to happen, though. Mm-hmm. And people of all ages have unexpected accidents or illnesses that can leave you incapacitated or, God forbid, dead. While many people think that estate planning is just for the wealthy or the elderly, consider the case of Terry Schiavo. Mm-hmm. She was a young woman, yet the whole country got involved in her health care because she didn't do the necessary planning for the end of her life care. And end of life care is not the only thing. Her husband had to go to probate court to get appointed as her guardian so he could handle legal and financial matters, etc. The elderly and infirm need to do proper planning. Everybody else does too.
All right. Sixth estate planning myth. Everything is joint. My spouse can handle it all.
You know, that's not exactly true either. While your spouse may have access to some joint property, such as bank accounts or investments, it doesn't cover everything. If you own land jointly, you still may have to sign legal documents to transfer it or to mortgage it. You need to sign legal documents, various insurance forms, and lots of other things if somebody becomes incapacitated. And just because someone is your spouse doesn't mean that they can make medical decisions for you. You need to have documents in place to give these powers. That's why everyone, single or married, once they reach age 18, should consider having an advanced medical directive and durable powers of attorney.
All right, estate planning myth number 7. I have to spend all my money to get Medicaid.
Well, this is almost true if you're single. While your house is protected and you can set aside some money for burial, you cannot have more than $2,000 in countable resources or countable assets and still qualify for Medicaid, $5,000 for what we call community Medicaid. However, married couples can have up to over $103,000 and still get coverage for a spouse in a nursing home. Also, not all assets are countable, so things like cars and certain retirement plans and certain income-producing property may not be countable. It depends on the state in which you live.
Another estate planning myth, I need a civil union to plan for my partner.
Well, this is for those of you that either don't get married because you live together or because you are in a homosexual or gay relationship. This is not true at all. With most estate planning documents, you can name anyone you want in whatever capacity you want. So you don't have to be in a state that recognizes legal civil unions in order to do your estate planning. We do a lot of it for alternative lifestyle couples. And I'd say for you, you just need to, you know, get good advice. And you can use revocable trusts. You can use durable powers of attorney. You can use wills to take care of your property ownership. Also, now under the U.S. Supreme Court ruling, in the Windsor case, which is the subject of a separate podcast, married couples who, even though they're same-sex couples, are now entitled to the same benefits as married couples who are opposite-sex couples in those states that recognize same-sex marriages. This is not the case, however, in states where same-sex marriages are not recognized, and so the law remains unsettled in those states for now.
A ninth estate planning myth, I can't leave anything to my special needs child.
Many parents of disabled or special needs children who receive various types of government benefits think that if they leave any money or property to the child's going to lose those benefits. They're correct if the child receives the money outright. The child will lose the benefits, but money can be left in what's called a supplemental needs trust to provide for them without jeopardizing those benefits, and an SNT can be a very powerful planning tool to provide for a disabled or a special needs child.
And our 10th estate planning myth, which there are many more, but our 10th one we have on the show is, I can't do it myself, or I can do it myself. I apologize.
You know, there's a lot of information available online. You can go online and just pull a lot of the stuff that we're talking about today and just think that you can handle it all yourself. There are websites, there are computer programs, there are free forms that you can download, you know, with wills and trusts and advanced medical directives and limited liability companies and so on. And if you create your own, it doesn't mean that it doesn't satisfy state law requirements, but they may not be effective. If you're dead or disabled when that's discovered, it's too late. Also, Medicaid is very state-specific. The rules that govern Medicaid in Virginia are completely different from the rules in Maryland or D.C. or even Florida or Vermont or wherever. What you read about online or in magazines may work in one place, but might not work here. Even simple estate and Medicaid planning isn't simple. There are legal requirements. So yeah, you could do it yourself. And as I say to a lot of my prospective clients who may not become clients because they want to do it themselves, you can also screw it up yourself too. Mm-hmm. So if you want some advice on how to avoid problems with your estate planning and how to do your estate planning, give us a call at 703-218-2177 or send me an email to wayne.zell@ofplaw.com. And also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog at blueprintforwealth.org. That's www.blueprintforwealth.org. Thank you so much for listening to Blueprint for Wealth.